Today on The Journey.
It's not just the physical act. It is the looking at a woman lustfully. So let's think about this and let's draw some principles regarding how we need to handle some of these things in our life.
If you give it any quarter, lust will defeat you. One gap in the line, one lapse in vigilance, and it will have you. So today, Ron Moore and Men's Minister Tunch Ilkin prepare us to face the struggle every man deals with and to be more than conquerors through Christ. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms, from the book of Joshua, that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Strong and Courageous is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more about this inspiring resource later in the program. Now here are Ron and Tunch with part one of their discussion titled, Under Attack, Lust, on The Journey.
Welcome to a special edition of The Journey. I am here with Tunch Ilkin. Tunch, thanks for joining us on these programs. This is a lot of fun to work with you.
It's great to be with you, brother.
Tunch is a pastor of men's ministry, speaks to men literally all over the country. He played football for 14 years for the Pittsburgh Steelers, most of those years, 1 year with the Green Bay Packers, and has a heart for God and a heart for men. And Tunch, we're talking about men engaging in the battle. You cannot be passive. You can't sit back. Men have to engage in a battle. And there's a battle going on out there.
There is. It is the battle for our souls, the battle for our marriages, the battle for our children, the battle for the soul of our neighborhoods, our churches, our country. We've been talking about it, and if you're not aware, you will be made aware very shortly because it is going to creep into the fabric of your very own family.
So we're talking about the different landscapes that we need to fight on. We've talked about the world and all the things that hit us from the world, kind of an avalanche of stuff that comes in. And now we're talking about the flesh, because not only do we get hit from the outside, but we are sinful creatures. We talked about what it means to deal with insecurity, and we said that you got to know who you are in Christ, that you are significant, that you are secure, that you are accepted, that you're forgiven, that you're empowered. Today we want to talk about something that I believe every man deals with, and that's the issue of sexual lust.
Oh, you mean lust is a problem for men? Come on. And if you can't detect the sarcasm in my voice, that was purely sarcastic. But we were studying every man's battle in the locker room Bible study that we do on Wednesday nights, and one of the guys in my group brought the book home, and his wife was thumbing through it. And she said to him, "You don't struggle with this, do you?" And he goes, "What about the title? Don't you understand? Every man's battle. Not some, not everybody, but Ron Moore. Every man's battle." It is every man. It's a great title of a book.
It is.
Because if you were to give everybody true sermon, say, how many men have struggled with lust in this room? Not looking at the woman that is scantily clad, not looking at a girly magazine. You know, it's kind of funny. It's the internet today. In our day, it was Playboy magazines at Penthouse magazines at the newsstand. And it's more available today. It's actually really scarier today. I mean, in our day, we had to
sneak around to do it.
Or you had to actually, in a very awkward way, can I buy that Playboy magazine?
Right.
But today, with the internet, if you don't have safeguards on your computers, it'll pop up.
We talk about being engaged in a battle. It's really a war. So we can win some victories along the way, and we might win this battle, but then there's always the next battle.
Yeah.
And as soon as we let down our guard, then we are so prone to fall in this area.
It doesn't end. The enemy comes in waves, and the waves do not stop. Absolutely do not stop.
So we have a mutual friend, and there's a men's conference coming up. You have a major part there, emceeing it and speaking, and I do a little breakout. And he came to me not long ago and said, "The guy who did the lust talk can't do it this year. Can you do the lust talk?" So I get to do.
So you do the lust talk.
The lust talk.
Oh, good, 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 good.
And it is every man's battle.
Yeah, we did a breakout a few men's retreats ago on lust and anger together, opposite horns on the same bull, we called it. And they are interrelated. Look, you will sell out the lust talk, no doubt in my mind, because everyone wants to know how to deal with it.
One guy wrote this several years ago in Time magazine. He said, flip through the magazines, listen to Oprah, lurk in the seamier corners of cyberspace. Sex is everywhere in America, in the ads, films, TV shows, music videos. The impression that is branded on the collective subconscious is that life is a sexual banquet. And then he goes on to say, but then you look at your life and it's a sexual banquet that everyone got invited to except you, right?
Yeah.
Because there's always that person who feels like they're not quite satisfied. And so that leads them then to do some things that they shouldn't do, look at some things they shouldn't look at.
Think about television, just television alone, with the advertisements for if you drink this tequila or this beer, or if you wear these clothes, you will have this kind of sexual encounter. If you drive this car, this is what will happen to you. It is a constant bombardment. We are a culture that is obsessed with sex. Monday Night Football, just the games. You know, that's one of the things that I love about Mr. Rooney. No Steeler cheerleaders. I mean, there's cheerleaders are not dressed like with pom-poms. I mean, they have them, but they're not dressed like that. And I'll never forget, someone asked Mr. Rooney, the ambassador, he said, why don't the Steelers have cheerleaders? And he said, our fans know when to cheer. And the message was very clear. They are not cheerleaders. Right. They are dancers. We used to have this thing when we'd go on the field before a game. If there were cheerleaders, we'd go, don't look. If you do, you give up a sack. That was kind of the punishment for the wandering eye.
Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, what Jesus is saying there is, it's not just the physical act, but it is the looking at a woman lustfully. So this isn't just because of the internet or just because of print magazines. Back in Jesus' day, he is addressing the issue. Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible, says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully on a woman. So let's think about this and let's draw some principles regarding how we need to handle some of these things in our life. And I got to tell you, Tench, I was joking around about that guy saying, well, you give the lust talk. And as soon as I said yes, I've had more temptation in that area, within or without, or Satan or whatever. I don't know exactly where it was coming from, but there has been more temptation in that area.
And let's face it, the attack is going to come, and especially in this area. I'll never forget, I got rid of Showtime and HBO and all that stuff because I'm protecting myself, because I know who I am. I know the brokenness that I come from, and I don't want that temptation. And we went to HD. And when we went to HD, I didn't realize, but all the premium channels came back. And I'm flipping through the channels. When I first got HD, I was going, wow, this is so, look at that. And I was flipping through the channels and boom, frontal nudity. And it totally caught me off guard. And I was mesmerized. I would love to say I immediately changed the channel, but I didn't. I was like going, change the channel, change the channel. And my thumb was not pressing to change the channel. And it can captivate you. It is very seductive, even though it's television.
So I know you're huge into social media, and Facebook and Twitter and all
All that stuff, right. I've never tweeted in my life.
So we do some Facebook stuff and Twitter. Sometimes with Twitter, you go there and it has trending.
Right.
And you say, okay, here's trending. Maybe it's a political topic or whatever. And you look on there and pretty soon these pictures, you don't even have to be looking for this stuff.
No.
The temptation is always there.
A buddy of mine was telling me that all he was doing was looking up a guy, and all of a sudden, nude women popped up on his computer, and he was trying to get it off, and the pop-ups don't go off that easy. And so it's almost like it's out to trap you. It's a very scary challenge. You don't have to be looking for it to be right in your face.
Calvin said, let him who does not touch a woman not flatter himself, while in the meantime, his heart inwardly burns with lust. So we have to realize that it's not just about not committing adultery. It's this whole thing with lust. And that impacts our relationship with our wife. our relationship with God.
And also, let me just say this. We could be pretty good about not looking at pornography. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is I could conjure up pornographic images in my mind from the past very easily. That's another battlefield. So I don't need a screen or a computer to engage my brain in pornography.
Well, you know, that's a great point. It's not what we're doing today that may be the issue. It's what's happened yesterday.
Right.
And then those images coming back up. So let's talk about some things that we need to do as men. And Tunch, we are in the battle.
Right.
I hope no one thinks, okay, boy, they got it together and they're telling us what to do. Please, if we're coming across that way, we're missing a boat.
Because
we are in this battle.
Yeah.
And while we're talking to men, there are a lot of women listening. Mm-hmm. And you need to know that your husband is in this battle.
Every man's battle.
Every man's battle. You may have a satisfying sexual relationship. That's great. Your husband is still in the battle. So you need to know that, and you need to be praying for him.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, wives and husband need to make sure their intimacy is healthy. It does not take it away.
No, but it's a great covering.
But it's a great covering.
It is a great covering to the man, yeah. Having a wife that understands mm-hmm. is very important. It is something that is a blessing to men and keeps them focused on the wife of their youth. And the other thing is, too, I think sometimes wives need to understand that you may want to watch Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. That's not good for men to watch.
No.
It's not a good show for men because mm-hmm. the women are not dressed conservatively at all on that show. I only watched that show once, and that was when Hines Ward was on it, and I used to do a radio show with Hines. Well, he was on Dancing with the Stars, and I'd never seen that show. And I'm watching it, and I'm going, this is not good for me to watch. And I was talking to a bunch of couples, and the wives were saying, oh, well, let's watch Dancing with Stars. Yeah. I said, do you realize what that's doing to your husband? Well, you know, men are stimulated visually, mm-hmm. and the visuals on that show are not healthy for a man to watch.
And so some of the women are saying, are you kidding
me? I know.
Me?
Yeah, they are.
Dancing with the Stars? And no.
We're not
kidding.
Yeah, Arterburn was talking about looking at the lingerie section in the Sunday paper. We had a big laugh about this, but I was teaching on Every Man's Battle. I was talking about the eyes. You got to protect the eyes. And a buddy came up in the class and he said, so what's the difference between admiring a beautiful woman and admiring a beautiful car? And I said, you can't have sex with a car. And he didn't get it. He, you know, I said, no, look, it's not like admiring a piece of art. I'm sorry. When you look at a beautiful woman, a woman that is sexy, you are not admiring her like a piece of art. As a matter of fact, more like a piece of flesh. That's what it is. Let's be very, very clear that we men are stimulated by sight. Mm-hmm. And wives, you can help us in that area by making sure that we don't watch things that are going to pollute our brains.
So the first thing we need to do, we just need to recognize our vulnerability. Let me read this quote, J. Allen Peterson. This comes from a book, The Myth of the Greener Grass. He says, temptation knows no stranger. Everyone is tempted and will always be. No one can evade it or avoid it. If a man is alive, he is tempted. If you have a mind through which to think, you'll be tempted through that mind. If you have a body in which you live, you'll be tempted through that body. If you have a social nature by which you enjoy other people, that will be an avenue of temptations. If you are a sexual being, you'll have sexual temptations. I love that truth. You are going to be tempted in this area of sexuality. Temptation knows no strangers. And so we need to recognize our vulnerability.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. I am vulnerable. Solomon was. Samson was. The man after God's own heart was. David. They failed sexually. They lusted and it cost them dearly. And so I am vulnerable. That's not something a guy likes to say. I got this thing covered. No, I'm good.
I'm good. That's a red flag. How you doing? I'm good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about I'm good. Kind of the interesting thing is it doesn't end. It's not like, oh, gee, I'm 56 years old. I'm not looking anymore.
Right.
Well, I thought that might happen when I was 26, but I got news for you.
It doesn't.
It doesn't at all.
Pride goes before destruction, Proverbs 16:18, a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. I've only had one guy ever say to me, Ryan, I don't have an issue in this area. And he was a guy who fell sexually.
Yeah.
If we do not admit we are vulnerable, pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. It's also practical. So if you think you're standing, be careful.
Right.
Because you're getting ready to fall.
A buddy of mine a long time ago said, you could never have an affair. And I said, are you kidding me? Do you think that I've ever fantasized about having an affair? And he said, well, I'm sure. I said, if I can think it, I can act on it.
Yeah.
And that's why I am very, very guarded in this area. And Ron, I've always been very fearful in this area. And I guess maybe it's that I know what I'm capable of. I know the depths of potential depravity that are in me. And so I've always been very, very, very guarded, very, very careful, very fearful. And I had a buddy who fell in an affair, and he said that he wasn't fearful. But after the affair, thankfully, he was counseled out of it, and reconciliation, everything went well. But I remember when I was addressing a group, and he heard me speak, he said, if I would have heard you say that 5 years ago, I would have thought you're nuts. But now, 5 years later, you are right on. You need to be afraid. And so I guess if I'm a guy, I need to be afraid.
Someone asked Billy Graham, you traveled all over the place. You spent sometimes months away from home. How did you stay sexually pure? And he said, I ran scared. He had people around him, but he knew he was vulnerable in that area. And I think that's the first thing that all of us need to do. We are vulnerable. Anyone who says it can't happen to me, man, that's not only a foolish statement, but a dangerous statement. Secondly, know the pattern of sin. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Springtime, and the kings go off to war, and David sends his men out to war, and he stays behind. We don't know exactly why he stayed behind, but he did. Many of you are familiar with that story. One evening, David got up from his bed, 2 Samuel says, and he walked around on the roof of his palace, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. So he saw her first, and he didn't turn away. He continued to look, and then he sent someone to find out about her, and then he sent someone to go get her, and then he came and he slept with her, and of course she became pregnant. He has her husband Uriah killed. The pattern of sin, from the sin of Adam and Eve to Achan's sin in Joshua 7 to David's sin here, he saw, he wanted, he took.
Yeah.
That's a pattern for all of us. We see it visually. We allow it to seep into our minds. As you said, we don't take the thought captive. It seeps into our minds. We begin to want it. And then we go do it. As you said, if I think it, I can do it.
Right. There's a real message in this passage of Scripture. Be where you're supposed to be. All right. In the springtime, the kings go off to war. David remained in Jerusalem.
It's a telling statement.
It's right. You're not where you're supposed to be. I think that is huge. You know, you've got in your notes, I love this, at some point you have to break the pattern. Buzzers are going off. Yeah. Run away fast. Get out of this situation.
Well, the great example of someone doing that was Joseph, who had that opportunity, and he says, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm out of there.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. When I first read that, I remember thinking, Joseph is a young man, and Potiphar's wife is beautiful. And when I think about that, I go, wow, could I have done that? That was a great moment of victory in Joseph's walk with God.
Scripture says, flee youthful lusts.
Yeah. Run away.
Run away. It doesn't mean if you're a youth, flee youthful lusts. It means whatever age you are, flee youthful lusts. Here's a third one. Make a covenant with your eyes. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, if your eye causes you to fall or it leads you into sin, he's not saying take out your eye, but he's saying get out of your life the things that are causing that. And we need to do that. We have to do that.
Don't look. Don't look. You know, we always talk about bouncing the eyes as part of it, using that verse, the Job verse, to not look upon a woman with lust in my heart. And the challenge is that before you understand how God wants purity for your life, you look at every woman. That was part of it. You know, I think the biggest transformation in my life came when I realized that I need to rethink the way I looked at women. And that was after looking at women a certain way until I became a believer, then after I gave my life to Christ, and then looking at women as sisters and mothers and wives instead of sexual objects. That was a real watershed moment in my life. So that's when the world is thinking the other way, you are thinking in a more pure way.
In touch as a father of daughters, that's someone's daughter.
Right.
And I think that hits me sometime in those areas of temptation. Well, time out. That's someone's daughter.
Right.
I want someone looking at my daughter like that.
So, yeah, I'd have to kill him.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. Sort of.
So another one, we need to discipline our hands. Men need to be careful with inappropriate touching. When you do a talk like this, someone says, well, what's inappropriate touching? You know, I want to say, you know what? You're smart enough to know.
Yeah.
When you've touched someone inappropriately.
Okay, and I got something to say. You can't be friends with women. You cannot have those same kind of guy, intimate, close relationships. You know, when a guy says, she's a good friend of mine, and he's married, now that's a red flag. If you're attracted to a woman, any touching is inappropriate. There, it isn't innocent. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Call it cynicism, but it isn't innocent. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take much for something that is seemingly innocent to become something that's very inappropriate, mm-hmm. and very dangerous. Very, very dangerous.
Right. So we have to make sure that we discipline our hands. As Jesus said again, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And he's not saying you literally cut off your hand, but he's saying don't do the things that lead to temptation. Don't do the things that ignite lust. All right, number five. Some things we need to do as men to guard ourselves against lust, because it's a battle. It's going to be happening. Again, every man's battle. Remove yourself from a tempting situation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Flee sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So we were talking about the Joseph story earlier. Joseph literally removed himself from that situation. He literally ran out of the house. And that's the picture here. Flee sexual immorality. So if someone is in a tempting situation, there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They got to get out of that situation.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to go down the wrong path and cause a lot of damage and destruction for a lot of people.
Scout the terrain. Scout the enemy. If there is a woman in the workplace that you are very attracted to and are having impure thoughts about, you got to stay away from her. You really, really got to guard yourself. What I love about that 1 Corinthians 6 passage too is after he says to flee from sexual immorality, verse 19, he says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Okay, so this isn't just you. You were bought with a price. God bought us, and that price was great. That price was his blood. That price was the cross. And so it's not just me. So therefore, honor God with your body.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a look at our next time together. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assurance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story in his encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. In its reflections, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. A digital copy of Strong and Courageous is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Tunch for a preview of our next broadcast.
A lot of guys, I believe, want to get to this flirtatious area for the excitement of that. And they don't realize that they're playing with fire. And the scriptures say, can a man heap burning coals into his lap and not get burned? Well, no. I've talked to men who have said, you know, I was just kind of flirting. I wasn't really thinking anything would come of it. And boom, the next thing you know, they're in an affair. Don't play with fire. You get burned.
I've never talked to a guy who said, well, you know what? I didn't like what was going on in my marriage, and so I went out to have an affair. It always started innocently. Now, they may have been having trouble in their marriage.
Right.
But it started innocently, and one thing led to another, and before they knew it, they were trapped in an illicit sexual relationship.
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a digital download of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Strong and Courageous, is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that The Journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.